during our corporate fast, as I was explaining to somebody about fasting, God doesn't just have you starve yourself. When he sends you on a fast, he gives you a specific reason for the fast. And when you look throughout the scriptures, you'll see it as a pattern within the scriptures that God gave the people a specific. One of the largest highlights that he highlighted to me and then gave me a list of other things to pray about was for his people. He wanted to bring more insight, more inspiration, more motivation, and more revelation. And these are really important things. I know there might sound maybe an abstract word, but when you have insight, that's how that happens. That's why you do it this way. Inspiration is that leap to do something that's from heaven. It's almost like if you went and turned the flame on in the kitchen and put your hand over it, it would inspire your hand. Motivation is very similar, because inspiration is the thought to move your hand, but the motivation is to move your hand. You actually have something that has finally gotten you to move. You know, maybe there's areas in our lives that we have wanted to overcome, but we've not made a move. You could call them breakthroughs when you finally move. It's like, wow, I finally had a breakthrough in that. And then revelation is greater understanding of the Word of God. As I was reading the scriptures, I was really moved by the Word of God in Genesis and the Word of God in 2 Peter about God breathing into man's nostrils, the breath of life. I was thinking a lot about breathing, and I happened to come across a story through a friend of mine who had this posted. And it was a little story about the young Jewish boy that was murdered recently. The little 8-year-old that was walking. Do y'all know the story? Okay. Anyway, his parent allowed him to walk, was it 8 blocks? Something like that. And he was murdered. And I happened to go on there and I was just scrolling, because I knew I was led by the Holy Spirit. When I scroll, I wait for the leap that lets me know when to stop, what I'm to look at. So this is how I live and move and have my being. I'm always listening to the leap. I always want to guard myself from getting so distracted by anything that I cannot hear the leap of the Holy Spirit. And I came across a short little paragraph. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph. I'm going to just read the part of the paragraph that really struck me because of what the Lord was saying to me. And it was a little comment by a Jewish mother to the parents that lost their child. This Jewish mother said, "As a Jewish mother who has lost my only son through a violent death, I will tell you that you should just concentrate on breathing. I know that may seem simple to some, but after such a tragedy, breathing is not so automatic. Just breathe and hold your other children." And it really made me think about some people that have come to the ministry that I have ministered to. Some who so outwardly did not breathe normal. because when a tragedy hit their family, it took their breath away, their normal breathing. And when God breathed into us, He breathed life. And I know a lot of times we can think it's so abstract, but what He did was He breathed into us everything that we would need to live a life with Him. But when man fell, he lost that ability. That was a tragedy when man fell. And therefore, he didn't breathe correctly. Therefore, he didn't think correctly, because it's all interconnected. I was doing a little study. You can breathe automatically. And I was studying how the body just breathes. There's the brain stem, and all these little things are sent, and they're triggering how you're breathing. Or you can breathe purposely. Like people that take certain classes, exercise, you probably have heard of the type of exercise they take, and they have a certain kind of breathing. I was reading about runners and their breathing and how much it really affects people's lives. But it really comes back to the God of the universe. When He breathed in us, He breathed His very life into us. But after the fall, and knowing that He had to bring a Savior into the world, He brought Jesus. And when Jesus was with His disciples before He was ascended up to heaven, it said He breathed on them. What was He breathing? He was breathing the breath of God's Spirit once again. And in that passage, what He was saying was, "Receive my breath." And some of you may need to receive the breath of God in areas that you have not allowed Him to breathe in you about. Turn in your Bible to Genesis. Let's just look at it. It's good to look at it in your eye, with your own eyes. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." For those of us that have ever taken first aid classes, CPR, one of the things they teach you if somebody has passed out is to get them to breathe again. And what do? You put your mouth next to their mouth and you breathe into their mouth life. Now turn over in your Bibles to 2 Peter. How many of you have ever had an opportunity where maybe you had something very serious go on and suddenly you finally had some relief? Do you notice that many times you do this? Right? A sigh of relief. Well, basically what you did is you just inhaled the breath of God again. Because when we live in a place of panic or worry or distress, we actually have been moved away from so to speak, supernatural CPR. We should be allowing God to breathe into us day by day, breathing his life. You know, his word, when he spoke it, he spoke it. Now, when you speak, I want you all to just say breath. And put your hand right here. Breath. Did you feel something on your body? What did you feel? Okay, you felt your breath. So every word that God speaks has his breath of life in it. So it's not just, oh, God's word. I got to speak God's word. Okay, by his stripes. It's not just that. Every time you speak the word of God, you are breathing with his work in you. It's Christ in you, is breathing into that situation. I've gone into very dire situations and spoken life, life into those cells, life into that part of the body, life. What am I doing? I am breathing God's life into the situation. It could be a job situation. It could be a part of your body that needs the breath of God. It could be a situation in your family, in the community, in the nation. A lot of people are not speaking the breath of God over our nation. Watch what you're speaking, because whatever you're speaking, you're releasing that breath into the situation. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, for we, 2 Peter 1, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, or you could say breath, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When your thoughts, and this moving is your thoughts. A lot of today, what we're going to talk about is how God moves on you in a thought. Because you have to have some kind of understanding of what he's wanting you to know or understand or receive. So he moved on these men that were separated to him. They were committed to the Lord. Therefore, he could move on them. When you are holy, when you are separated, because that's what that means. It doesn't mean that you're flawless. It means that you have separated yourself unto the truth that Jesus is the Lord. God is the God of the universe. And you believe him, you believe his word. And when he does, he moved on them and gave them his words. He's still doing that today. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, just a few little foundation scriptures. It also could be the morning star. And since we have surrounding us today different pictures of the universe, the Greeks used this word, and it was a Greek word, and it came from a word that described Venus as the morning star. Venus is considered the morning star and actually the evening star. It is the brightest star right before sunrise. And it's also the brightest right before sunset. And so this was a picture of Jesus will appear for the rapture of the church. And you know, he is going to appear at a time that may seem very dark in this world. He will appear just like Venus faithfully appears in the sky every morning and every night. And that's exciting, that Jesus is the prophetic star that will arise. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So much there if you really look at every single choice word that was placed there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I love to be inspired. I'm always being inspired. But the Word of God here, it says that the Word of God, look at it again, what is given by inspiration. And that word inspiration is a picture of to breathe. That's why I believe some people really struggle in hearing from the Lord, because they think it's going to be some all spectacular fireworks show on the inside, and sometimes it may be really a strong knowing, and other times it's just like you just have this fleeting thought. God just breathed a thought. But if you're too busy with your own thoughts and not listening, you can miss that breath. You know, when you go outside and you see the wind blowing, sometimes the wind blows just a gentle little breeze, like that little star above John's head, is just little by little flickering. I think it's really cute, honey. And there's other times you can go outside and the wind's blowing violently. And it really is whatever the Lord has need of is the way in which he will need to deliver the message. But he does it through breathing, which brings an inspired thought. How many of you have ever tried to catch butterflies? Okay. Anybody ever tried to catch anything that flew? Maybe that's a better choice word.
Fireflies?
Bird. A bird?
Seagull.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it seem real easy to catch something that flies? Okay, because it flies. Well, sometimes that's the way it is with our thoughts. We have these fleeting thoughts. Mm-hmm. They just fly in and they fly out, and you're like, wait a minute, that was something, what was it? That was something important. A lot of times this happens with people, they have a dream, they wake up, and they moved. And as soon as they moved, they lost the dream. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to help you to recover some butterflies, some fleeting thoughts that you really need for your lives, and thoughts that you're going to need the breath of God for other people, because those thoughts are the breath of God. Here it says that these inspired thoughts that come from the scripture first bring doctrine. This is the way you're to live. The doctrine of the Word of God is all the foundational things that pertain to what it is to be saved, what it is to be healed, what it is to be delivered, all that is entailed in the whole counsel of God. Then there's reproof. And reproof brings a person back through a test or a temptation. It's when you're reproved, a lot of times people can look at some of these words and they seem really harsh, but it's really to bring you back. If you've wandered away from the breath of God, it's to bring you back. It's never to make you feel bad about yourself, ever, because then you won't be able to hear the love of God. Then there's correction, and that correction was interesting because you might think that's reproving, but it actually meant to improve our character. So the breath of God, when he speaks to us, is to improve us as one of his beloved, one of his creation. And the last is instruction. And this word was great. It's a great picture for like a new mom, because it pertains to the training and the education of children. And how many of us have raised children here? Maybe we knew a lot, maybe we didn't know a lot, but we know it takes a lot, doesn't it? To instruct and educate children, there's a lot that has to be put into them. So God is saying through Timothy, who was the Apostle Paul's son, so to speak, in the Lord, the breath of God, everything he will inspire on the inside, every thought he will breathe into you will help you in every single area of your life. Does everyone here have a desire to at least have one experience in their life of living beyond what they could have ever imagined? Does everybody here, is there anyone here that doesn't want to live beyond what they could ever imagine? The Apostle Paul spoke in Ephesians. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do abundantly above all that we could even ask or think." Now, when you really look at that passage, you might think, okay, that means God's going to do above anything that I ask or think. I don't necessarily believe that's the fullness of the understanding. I believe he wants to do above what you could have imagined or thought, and give you the thought so that you can have what was above what you used to think.
Amen.
I think some people live with a falseness that God's going to do something amazing when they haven't opened themselves to receive the willingness for that amazing thought. And that's why a lot of people, as we say, the famous, they're in the waiting room. They keep waiting, but they're not open. And so I went and I studied some very, very famous people, and I gained so much insight to put in a way that I could bring it to you. and give you some practical things that you can do with the Lord by yourself. We're going to do some things in a corporate group, so it's going to be really interesting to see how it all unfolds, because we're all going to be open to the breath of God and just see what He says through every single one of us. But first of all, I want to talk, before we get into this and before you get all excited and then disappointed, I want to talk about your attitude. Because your attitude, how you go into what I'm about to go into, will determine whether you have the breath of God known by you. First, number one, you have to completely get rid of, oh no, a problem. Anytime a problem comes in your life, you've got to get rid of that attitude of, oh no. How many would confess their fault that they have ever said that? Okay, we've all said it. Instead, from this day forward, we make a decision that we will approach what we used to say was a problem with, this is a God opportunity. What I'm going to impart by the Holy Spirit today is how to help people open up to God. The second attitude that has to go away is, it can't be done. Because some of the things we're going to do today can't be done naturally, but we're going to do them anyway. Okay? And I'm going to show you how some famous people did that and how they did what they did in this world because they allowed themselves to put that thought away. It can't be done. So you're going to surrender to the inspiration of God, to He is the God of possibility. All things are possible with God. Number three, you're going to have to kick this one out. I can't do it. And instead, with God, I can do all things. With God. Oh, as we tell people, those of us that do things that we can't do, and people go, oh, how did you do that? How did you fly up in the air in Turkey and land on your feet, Lisa? With God. He was with me. I don't know how I did it. But with God, it doesn't matter if you knew how you did it. Because there might not be a book written about how you did something like that. Man might not have, you know, found the answer for that. The next one you're going to have to kick out to go into this opportunity with the Lord is, I'm not creative. I know some people use more of one side of their brain than the other. I know that. But we all need to use both sides of our brain that God gave us. One side is more analytical and one side is more creative. And if you don't have the side that's creative open to God when you need a miracle, you will reason it out and you will stop the miracle. And the last one, and I think this one hits a lot of people because of fear of man, and that is, I might fail. You've got to completely get rid of that one. Because as we go on this journey today with some people that have been regular human beings, they had many failures, but they kept going. And they left some valuable keys to us in what they learned. For example, many of us know this, but it's always good to remind us. Edison had 1,000 attempts at making a filament for an incandescent lamp. 1,000 of them before he finally figured it out. So, how many of you, if you have an area of your life that has failed, how many of you have attempted as wholeheartedly as he did 1,000 times at that? Oh well, do it 1,001. Because every attempt he made was not the same attempt. That's the important thing. He kept getting inspiration, whether he knew Jesus or not. He was open for the inspiration. There are so many people that don't even know Jesus that are doing incredible things. I have a list here of who invented gum, safety pins, swivel chairs, super soakers, kitty litter, volleyball, Morse code, dynamite, elevator brake, Kool-Aid, water skiing, helicopters. I never heard of many of these people. So why not us? Why not us being someone that can do something nobody else has done? Every single one of us here were created by God to do something no one else has ever done. And a lot of times it came through a tragedy in their life, something they didn't have, and they went on a quest, or something they saw was so needed in humanity, and they went on a quest to do something about it. Now, the spiritual people that we have as a background, and this is important to start with the people that we have in scriptures, was Abraham. He was a wonderful example because God spoke to Abraham through the stars. And in Genesis 15:5, you can turn your Bibles if you'd like there, but I'm going to go ahead and start reading it. It says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars," tell means to number, "tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be." Here is a man that was past the age of having children. And God said, go and look at the stars. Now, it's very interesting in this passage of scripture. I never noted it really before. If you go on further in this scripture, it talks about, and then the sun went down. So either this was really early in the morning, when it's still dark out, that Abraham saw, or this was something that he just had to receive by vision, to think about the stars. Like maybe right now God says, I want you to consider the stars. And well, you can't see them right now because the sun is hindering our ability to see the stars. So some things that God will give to you, will breathe into you, will be by vision. And other things, he'll bring some natural things like some of the pictures that I brought that maybe some have just struck you as you've looked at them. God also gave him another one in Genesis 13:16. He said, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." Now, how in the world could Abraham ever count the dust? Go out to John's garden and start counting the dust. What do you think that did to Abraham? God breathed such a huge thought into Abraham. It was beyond anything, but God breathed that into him to let him know that was going to happen. But I think it's really wonderful if you look throughout the scriptures that even Isaac in Genesis 26:4, you can make a note of this, he speaks to Isaac and he says, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Do you see how God continued this picture, this breath of a huge panoramic thought of all the stars down to Isaac? It even went down to Moses. The only thing that they were that was warned when it started going down to Moses was the worshiping of the stars. And then, of course, Jesus became the bright and morning star. The Bible says, if you be Abraham's seed, then you are heir to the promise. Do you realize from your seed could be multitudes in nations coming to know the Lord through your seed, because you are now Abraham's seed? If you be in Christ, you are now part of Abraham's heritage. That's a big thought. Now, creative people were writers. And this is important. I don't just mean they wrote books, but they wrote things down. People that lose the revelations, the inspirations, the insight from God do not write it down. It's almost like sealing it in your understanding. Sometimes I will write it something down and never really go back and look at it, but it's still in me because I solidified it. I actually made it flesh by putting it down on paper. That's why I say, if you get a thought today, you better write it down, because you may lose it. You may never recover it, or it may be years before you recover it. They used notebooks. I'm talking about people that gained great insight and inspiration in this world. They sketched. They actually drew pictures. I don't care if you're an artist. This was not about being an artist. When you think of people that have invented things, they drew a picture of it first. They had to transfer what that inspired thought was in them down into paper. John and I were watching this cooking show one day, and I was so amazed because we don't usually watch this one, but it was cupcakes. And it came down to these two women, and they each had to create a background to set all their cupcakes on. And all they did was sketch something that really didn't look like much of anything, but they had someone that had the ability to be open to create something from a sketch. And they took these sketches and created these amazing backgrounds to present to the judges the theme of what these cupcakes were to represent. I was amazed at the squiggles and what came out of it. It was absolutely incredible. Sometimes one person may jot down the picture, but somebody else has the way it will come forth. So sometimes God does work with more than one person. Sometimes the person that writes it down or sketches it is the one that is actually going to put it together. They also said that writing these things down was an impetus to creative mind power. Actually putting these things down helps your mind to be open to more creative thoughts from the Lord. One person, I'm not sure if it was Edison, but one of the people that I was studying, I just didn't write down whose name this was, wrote down, ideas are just ghosts until flesh and blood is given to them through action. That's a pretty good picture. You're going to get a lot of nuggets today. The only way to increase knowledge is through experience. And experience is gained through more experience. So some people have a lot of knowledge, but they don't ever do anything with it. Therefore, they have no experiences with it. And that's how you gain confidence, is when you gain experience. I was sharing with someone, the reason I have confidence in preaching the gospel is I have a lot of experience. So I've been in a lot of different situations. I'm not God, but He's granted me a lot of experience to know the way to keep going, even when something looks completely out of control, how to just continue to press in and see that He goes beyond all these natural limitations. Many scientists, this is how they deal with their scientific discoveries. And you can use this and apply this with any aspect of your life. From learning a new hairstyle, to working on a vehicle, to discovering something with science. And this is what you do. First, you get the idea. You receive the thought. Then you test the idea. You know, how do you know a bicycle is going to ride if you don't test it? How are we going to know if John's food is good unless we test it? He could cook it, smell it, think it's wonderful, but until someone tests it, especially the one that created it, they won't know if it's any good. Then they noted the result. See, these are things you do for yourself. You believe in God to receive healing. You test it through the principles that you've learned in the Word of God, and you note the result. If you don't get the result you wanted, then you need to do what they said next time. Tweak the idea. In other words, you better gain more understanding. The idea being healing, or the idea being to create a new vehicle, right? Then you test the tweaked idea. In other words, you don't give up. You might be on number two. Einstein, or not Einstein, but Edison was on 1,000. Just remember that. And you note the result. I'm telling you what famous people scribe down. This is great for us. And it says they continued as necessary. And for many people, when they came into the body of Christ, they might have received certain understandings of the scriptures. They may have tested some. They may have not tested some. They may have passed. They may have failed. And some of them just stopped. They didn't keep tweaking it. Maybe you received healing in one part of your body, but you're having trouble receiving in another part of your body. Then you're going to have to do it and find out where is it you are missing in your experiment. Because it's guaranteed by God through the covenant that He has. Maybe it's believing God for a job. Not believing for a job, believing God. Thomas Edison thought out of the box. Interesting. The man had 1,093 patents. And you know why? He had a goal. This was his goal. His goal was every 10 days he would have a minor invention. That's what he wanted. A minor invention every 10 days. Anybody ever wanted one? And his other goal was every 6 months he would have a major invention. And he said, your brain responds to what you put a demand on it. You can put this in any arena. Any arena, from having your finances met, to praying for loved ones, praying for your own salvation, to grow, coming to the fullness of the gospel, knowing the call of God in your life. You can, if you set specific goals. I like this. Thomas Edison didn't sleep very much at all. He power napped all the time. I thought, he's my kind of guy, because I do power nap more than I sleep. I mean, John knows I slip out sometimes at 3 a.m. and I'm up. And this is what he found. He said in the state between awake and asleep was when he got his inspired thoughts. See, many times we want some great revelation from God, but we're trying to get it when we're so busy thinking about so many other things. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't have room to get in. You can only think of one thing at a time, even though you can think a lot of thoughts in a short amount of time. He gave some thoughts for us. He left these behind. Study the science of art and study the art of science. He studied from all different developments. Develop all your senses, especially your ability to see. Develop it. And then he said, study all of the above in light of the idea that everything connects in some way to everything else. That's one thing that I have been so amazed as I have come to know the Lord, and as I have just allowed myself to research and study areas, subjects that I never really did before, is how everything starts connecting, because there is a connection. We were just watching, before you all got here, this guy on, I don't know if it's the History Channel, is it History?
Science Channel.
And how he was discovering things on Earth that show us more about what's going on out in space that we have never really discovered and explored by just searching our own Earth. Then there's Albert Einstein. Maybe you don't want to know that much that Albert Einstein knew. But he said something that I thought was so important. And this specific statement Miriam spoke the night after I was ordained. So I guess I know where she got it from and where he got it from, whether they give the glory to God or not. That's the difference. The inspired thoughts can come, but who you give the glory to, well, how you will be rewarded. And this is what Albert Einstein said. Give yourself permission and opportunity to think extraordinary things. Now notice he said, give yourself permission and opportunity. Some of you here may have given yourself permission, but you don't stop long enough to give yourself opportunity. And some of you may have given yourself opportunities. You sit for hours, but you haven't really given yourself permission to be open to the thought because of some of those attitudes. I can't do it. What if I fail? Okay? Because if we have any of those attitudes, it will block the idea or the thought. He next said, set aside time to do this. Set aside time to do this. Allow for thinking work. I was telling the Wednesday group that one thing that I will say I have gained probably more through my relationship with Miriam Hellman than anything else was to get myself to think. I thought I was a thinker. But to really allow myself to think about some things that I had never thought about before. I did think about some things, but some of the subjects that we would get into, like when we were in Turkey and she said, oh, it went right over your head. I said, yeah. She goes, it's okay, huh? You just never thought about it before. It's true. I really hadn't thought much about demigods because that's what we were talking about. But that's okay. I began to be open for these new thoughts. Set aside 20 minutes a day to think. I'm not talking about worrying about how you're going to pay your bills. That's not what I'm talking about. Just to think some thoughts that are beyond you. Stretch beyond the known. Now, this was fun. We did this on Wednesday. A lot of these people that accomplished what they accomplished had what they called thought experiments into something that they couldn't do on their own. And that was to ride on a light beam. So we all rode on a light beam on Wednesday, and I asked everybody where they went on that light beam. I was all over the galaxies. I was so fast. Once I hit that light beam, I went so fast, I was completely out of this. I was in places I'd never been before. I was like, woo! And I remember Miriam has a wonderful series with a tape in it, or probably still is tape, or maybe a CD, called Jump on a Light Beam. And it really was that helped to catapult me into places that I had never gone before and things I had not done before, because I just hadn't allowed myself to think that. I was more thinking analytically, because I can have a real analytical side. That's how I can handle the business part of the ministry. But I thank God for the creative side that I gained through my cosmetic background, because I had to be open to whole new thoughts every time I saw a person. I could never just do the same thing. And they gave me some tools to do it where I could see something and in a split second, I knew exactly what to do to that person. That's how fast you can get that thought. Then take time for hard thinking. This is very interesting. And hard thinking is where you look at something specific. Okay, you're actually looking at the situation. Maybe you're looking at your checkbook, or you're looking at your underneath your house. You're looking at your wardrobe. You're looking at everything that you have in your kitchen on what you're going to make for dinner. Okay, you're looking at something specific. That's hard thinking. And then give yourself time for soft thinking. And they called soft thinking is when you're just relaxing while music is playing and suddenly the answer comes. Because most times the answer comes not when you're hard thinking. This is where a lot of people get blocked when they're seeking the Lord. I just like the way they worded it, because to me, this is so true. When I look at how I receive from the Lord, it's never when I'm trying to, it's when I relax. After I've thought over the situation, then I completely yield it over to the Lord, and he comes up with a solution. And this can be for anything that you have need of. Then there was Leonardo da Vinci, Mona Lisa. He was described, as I searched his life, as the man with the most unquenchable curiosity. You know, sometimes people have children like that and they get really frustrated with them. The children that everything you have, they take it apart because they want to know how it got together, so they take it all apart, and you just thought they were a bad kid. But they want to know how it works. One of my favorite programs on TV is How It's Made. I just love to see how they put it all together. And I think it goes back to all my years of sewing, because I had to have something. I would see what it was supposed to look like, and then I would have all these pattern pieces, and then I would have the instruction sheet, which my grandma used to tell me, Lisa, they're nothing more than idiot sheets. Don't go by the instructions. Just follow the pictures. And because a lot of times she didn't think they gave good instructions. Her mother was a tailor in France, so she had really good training. And I'm glad, because after she passed away, I was given all of her sewing supplies. And one was a book on fitting clothes. I had never done that for anybody, but just sewed for myself and my children, which there's no whole lot of fitting on little kids. And I was asked to do a wedding with 5 bridesmaids of all shapes and sizes. And it was very tailored, form-fitted. And I pulled out this book that was given to me. And by faith, I took the leap and said yes, because the leap was in there to say yes. And then I had to start experimenting. And every one of them came out beautiful, to my amazement, with God working with me. But Leonardo da Vinci, with his curiosity, made me think of the parable of the talents. Because he mastered so many things in his life. I'm going to give you the length of what he did. He was a painter. He was a sculptor. He was an architect. He was a musician. He was a scientist, a mathematician, an inventor, an anatomist. Now, this was interesting. He had to take a class on anatomy. It was just a requirement. But what that class did was helped him to draw the human body. And because of his taking the class, he was allowed to go in during certain operations when the body was dead, and they were taking the body parts to look at the muscles and everything. And that's how he gained, through experiment, his knowledge of the human body, to actually draw it. Isn't that incredible? He was a geologist. He was an engineer. He was a botanist. He was a writer. He was a cartographer. And yet, he was born out of wedlock. See, a lot of times we think some people that have done great things in this world had great beginnings. But he didn't. Yet, he was open. He shared some things that I've been experimenting with, and I'm going to have you do them right now. First, he also said everything connects, and that helps with inspiration if you just understand that everything connects. He said, write with your non-dominant hand 10 minutes a day to stimulate your brain. So I did. So everybody, I want you to write right now on your piece of paper. Just write your name with your non-dominant hand. It's okay. Some people have practiced it, and so they're pretty good. Right. The next thing I want you to do that he suggested was to mirror write. Okay? So I want you to write down the word mirror like a mirror that you look in. Write, W-R-I-T-E, but you're going to write it on your paper with your dominant hand. You're going to write it as though you were going to turn it around and show it in a mirror. This is going to stimulate your brain. So if a bee normally goes this way, the bee's going to go the opposite way so that when it looks in a mirror, it'll look normal. Mirror, right. W-R-I-T-E. This will remind you to mirror right.
Okay, mirror right.
You're, when you turn it around, it's going to say mirror right. So.
Oh, you want the word right?
No. See, it's making your brain have to think. If you were to take a word and turn it around in a mirror, you want it to look.
Well, then it would be backwards, more or less. You write it backwards.
Yes.
I can't do
that. Now, wait a minute. One of the attitudes we said is you have to get rid of the I can't. You might take it slow. This isn't about competing against anybody else. This is just something to stimulate your brain. You know, one reason that when people grow more mature in their life is they stop using their brain because there's no demand put on their brain anymore. And it really affects our life. And the last thing that Leonardo da Vinci said was to keep a journal. Before we get into our group things that we're going to do together, the last person, I happened to bump into this painting in a store, is Vincent van Gogh. And I have really enjoyed sitting where you are and just looking at this painting. Then I looked at the name of the painting because it's been a while since I've really looked at his paintings, and yet I'm always kind of drawn to them when I've gone up to the museum up in Pasadena. And this painting is called Starry Night. It is considered one of his most famous paintings. But what was interesting to me is to find out a little bit about his life was he died very, very young in his 30s. I think he was 37. He aspired in his life to be a pastor. And he went to school, but he failed. He proposed to a couple women. They turned him down. He had a lot of rejection in his life, and I think that's probably what caused a lot, from what I was reading about him, a lot of the mental disturbance, especially for a man, because a lot of men know that a woman completes them. And then the woman he finally did have in his life was a prostitute, and he got gonorrhea. I mean, he just really had a troubled life. But even though he had a troubled life, he still created amazing things. And in this picture, many believe that it is almost a story about his life because of the scripture in Genesis that talks about the moon and the 11 stars bowing. And if you'll notice, there are 11 stars and the moon in this picture. So there may have been something in him spiritually, because his desire was, according to history, to preach the gospel to the world. And that really did speak to me when I saw that. One thing that they said about this painting was, when you look at it, even though it's a stationary painting, it's moving. By the way that he painted that painting, there's a lot of movement in it. And he, I think he was pretty amazing. Then they said that even though here you see the stars and the moon, he put a little church right in the middle of town, and they believe that that was symbolic of what it does to a community when the gospel is in that community. I thought that was kind of interesting. Then the piece in the front, they said it's kind of you guess whatever it is. They don't really know what that was symbolic of. They said use your imagination, but that part in the front of the painting gives the whole painting dimension. And so it was really interesting to look at his work. And as I was thinking about a lot of these men, I was thinking they may not have been chosen at birth. They may not have had good beginnings. But you can choose again when you're born again. And you can have the breath of God breathe into your life and start your life afresh. All right, we're going to go into the outer limits now. Some of what people did and do even to this day, the reason people get these incredible thoughts, as I said, they're open to them. We're going to do an activity together. And in this activity, every one of you was given a stick'em. If you don't have one, let me know and I'll get you a stick'em. You need one? Okay. Okay. Every one of you are going to receive your own thought about a person. And this person has sickness in every part of their body. And your line has to be how they received healing in that, in a specific part of their body. So each person is going to have their own organ. So you're actually going to, we're going to tell a story here about this person. Not necessarily that the person maybe has it all now. It could be through their lifetime they have things. Maybe you can, for example, you could say, oh, this person fell down and broke their ankle, but they received the Lord, da 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 da. Now, if you shut down already and said, oh, I don't know, I can do this. What if I'm making it up? You will be thinking you're making it up. Well, let me tell you, God is the creator that gives these creative thoughts. And every good and perfect gift is from above. So you've got to shut down the thought when we do this experiment. Do not evaluate your idea. Do you hear what I'm saying? It just has to be a miracle in how it happened. Don't evaluate it. Second, think and propose the wildest idea. The wildest. God's the God of all things are possible. And through this group, we're going to generate a large quantity of ideas. And each idea will build on another idea. As I said, don't evaluate your idea because it could be so simple. Some people, it may be a little more complex how they write it out. But it doesn't matter. For example, I'll start. First thing that just came to me was when this person fell and they had a broken ankle, they just said no and they got up and walked away. on normal ankles. That was it. Now, if your analytical mind interferes right now, you'll blow that off. Like, yeah, right. But what you do is you shut yourself down from ever living something like that. So we're just going to be completely open. It's almost like you were going to give up and share a testimony, and it, who knows, maybe the only thought that will come to you will be a thought of somebody's real testimony, and that's what comes to you. It's okay. It doesn't matter to me. That's not what this is about. Wait, hold on. Go ahead and start over, because I'm going to record it.
Okay. This person had a heart attack, and by the time I got there, this person was just coming awake from the heart attack. They had defibrillated this person, and he was coming awake. And when he woke up, the only thing he could tell me, or this person could tell me, is that Jesus was standing in the corner over there. Mm-hmm. And just standing in the corner. I just says, calm down, you just need to calm down. But I believe that Jesus was there, and he healed this person of that heart.
Did you see him healed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. When Larry said what he said, my spirit knew it was inspired from God. Don't be surprised, Larry, if you get an assignment like that someday. Because this is how revelation to go and minister to people comes at times, through just an inspired thought. Could be a dream. It could come as a dream.
Okay. The reason I know it was God is because this person wasn't religious at all.
And yeah. The person was very disturbed. I know what he's talking. He's talking about a situation. The person
gives me goosebumps.
Was
to
very
think about it.
Not bad disturbed, but very. I mean, like I just encountered God, and they were shaking in their boots, and they just had a major heart attack, and we're like, "It's okay, relax. That's good. That probably was who you saw. So relax." But
okay.
The person met God and was shaken. Yeah.
Okay. See, the Holy Spirit's going to be very involved with this, so don't be disturbed. Debbie, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right away, I heard a disease in the liver, and I said she didn't become disturbed at the diagnosis, but she went to the fair and rode every ride that thrilled her. She had so much fun. She sought out every amusement park and rode every ride that she loved and found so much pure joy and love that she found out when she returned to the doctor that she was completely healed.
Wow. All right, are you starting to get how the Holy Spirit works with inspiration? That was awesome.
I'm thinking of someone who has a diagnosis, and I'm thinking of how he can get cured. He's not healed yet, but he can be. Is that what you're...
I had no specific person in mind. I was just asking. I was just saying be open to a thought, not on, well, how can this person be healed? That's not the instruction. The instruction was to be open to the way a person received the miracle. If you listen to the instruction, you'll receive the thought. Do you get it? Who else has a thought?
The word received is what's confusing me, because it's like in the past tense, but for me, it would be my faith is reaching out to the past tense.
No, forget a real life situation.
Oh, okay.
Because you're boxing yourself.
Okay.
You just need to be open to a God thought of the way. Just be open to a thought. I'm telling you, don't evaluate it. You've been evaluating it like a nurse. Don't evaluate it. Just be open to a thought. Just let God bring a picture of someone that had a sickness, how they were healed. Patty's got her arm up, so what is it, Patty?
This person was sick in their entire body, and they wrapped themselves up as a beautiful gift, including the bow, and they gave themselves to God.
Wow. 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 That's awesome. You're amazed, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. See, that's what we want to be open for. Somebody else? Do you have one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Irene.
Well, when you were talking, this person had like a clogged aorta, and they started praying. They were inspired to see it like fleshed out, like the Roto-Rooter guy. Mm-hmm. They were healed.
Praise God. Praise God. That's good. Who else? You got one,
yeah,
Rich?
I have one. Man kept having things break, and he couldn't put them back together. And he was at the ocean, and he saw barnacles, and he ground them up, and he made a paste, and they stick together.
What was broken up?
Things would fall, you know, like he would build things, and it would break.
Okay.
And so now...
So yours wasn't really a healing.
No.
It was a fixing of something
fixing
that was broken.
That's
okay. That's okay. That's okay. That, we were going to get into something more like that later, but be open for another one on healing, okay? But that's a good one. That's a really good one. Do you have one, Julene?
The person took their broken body and imagined Jesus overshadowing them in his resurrected body, and every area was replaced by his wholeness.
Praise God. Now, as people are sharing these things, these stories, how many of you can see it as they're sharing it? How many of you are being impacted by them sharing it? Okay. Who else has? Okay.
Well, the thought I just had was that it had to do with my dad, but God just showed me something. I remember being in the hospital with him. And
No.
Oh, okay.
This has to be God just giving you a thought of
God
somebody
being,
healed.
Okay.
So tell me what that is.
Well, it was, I'll tell you, it was a dream. And I had this dream of Daddy. And
are you telling me a real thing?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Real
no,
thing.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
You're not doing the assignment. We got to do the assignment.
Okay.
Even though that's probably a great story.
Okay.
You just need a thought of how someone was healed.
Okay.
If that dream came to you and you could see that somebody was healed, that's fine. But don't go into the past. I want you to live right now.
Well, as a matter of fact, it was just the other day, and this girl was sitting next to me. She was
just tell me what you see right now on the person being healed.
I've seen her healed from being abused, of what she had shared with me. And I've seen just the healing of her body, of the broken bruises and stuff that she had had, that she had shared with me.
Okay. So you could actually see her heal.
I did.
Was it just physical or emotional, too?
Emotional, physical. She was sharing with me. Some girl I didn't even know.
Okay. All right. Who else has theirs? Yesenia?
A person that broke their bone and just miraculously fed it by themselves and healed completely.
Okay. Praise God. I'm going to give you a little tip here. Even though I've told you, don't give me a specific person necessarily, unless that thought comes to you on a specific person, the way you get sent into situations, sometimes to minister healing, comes just this way. A thought will come to you. You'll see it before you get there. And all you do is walk it out. Who else has theirs? Do you have?
My person was very depressed. And just walked outside. You just saw a bluebird just fly away. And that just looked like they just fell.
Okay. A deliverance. Okay. You got it.
I'm getting somebody that's is used to following orders like a soldier, and the commander comes and tells them to get well, and he does. He gets out of the bed.
Praise God. So that commanding voice breathed life into that soldier.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Roger, do you have one?
You can walk set analytical mind.
Being honest, you're getting ready to open up for the new way.
Now, with hearing what you've been